Isn't he a good God? Just me? Yeah, he's a great God. Now I'm going to ask you a question. You know, what do you do on a Saturday night? Maybe last night or most Saturday nights?
Wine?
Relaxation? Working? What do you do on a Saturday night? Ate steak, good choice.
Curry.
What was that?
IKEA
furniture, or any other type of furniture. Yep. Anything else? Well, there's this moment on a Saturday evening, and when I was a kid, I used to watch the various different cartoons in the mornings, and you have like the Batman. Cartoons where they used to shine the big bat in the sky. And it was like Batman's alert to action, his call to action. He had to go and do something. Well, we as a worship team have that same experience every Saturday. The WhatsApp group goes mad on a Saturday night because the call to worship goes out from the worship leader. Here are the songs for the next day. And you can imagine, just picture the scene. Everyone's doing their own things all around Cardiff, Newport and beyond, eating steak, enjoying wine, playing some cards, putting up IKEA furniture, whatever it may be. The call to worship goes out and everyone stops what they're doing. They instantly run across to grab their mobile phone. They know the call to worship has gone out and they are ready to go for the following morning. Well, not quite the scene, but you can imagine what it's like. As the text goes out, everyone's preparing for what might happen the following day at church. It's exciting. It's exciting getting together, being together. We don't spend an awful lot of time together as Christians. Our lives are consumed by so many other things. It's depressing to think how many hours of your life are consumed in work, but work tends to be one of the dominant factors. Sleep might be another dominant factor, although if you're like us, that can be hit and miss depending on how the kids are getting on. And it seems to never stop. Like even Emily last night, age 11, still keeps coming in and she's woken up in the middle of the night. And of course, then we're wide awake and it's like, oh, come on. We want to get some sleep. But why have I said that about the Saturday evening text, the worship, the call to worship from the worship team? Well, it's because for 3, maybe 4 worship periods in the last 6 months, I've had a song on my heart. And on the 16th of June 2019, I sent it out to the worship team. And the following morning, we didn't do it. On the 1st of September 2019, I sent it out to the worship team. The call to worship came out. We didn't do it. On the 4th of January 2020, so just a few weeks ago, I sent it out on the list. We didn't do it. And either the worship team are thinking, he's really not so good at this. he's not great at understanding what's going to be happening the following day, or God was doing something in my heart. And I think God was doing something in my heart because he wanted me to use it this morning. And the song is Come Thou Fount, and it's been on my heart, and I've been playing it and singing it for months and months and months, determined that it would be a song that we would sing together as a church. It's a very old hymn, a well-known hymn. I thought that was it being played then. I thought, wow, that's amazing. The church youth group are getting into Come Thou Fount this morning. Not quite. But it's been on my heart, and I've been listening to it and going through it, and I've found that I've used it perhaps in some of my reflections. We talked a bit about reflections this morning on what God has done in our lives and the goodness of God up to this point, and also going forward, what God has for us. And I wanted to set that out at the beginning of this evening. It's been a long day for me already, getting up and preparing for this morning. And really, 3 things have been on my heart as I've been pondering the words in this hymn, compassion, care, and conduct. They're the 3 things that have been resonating with me. And really today, oh, I haven't got the clicker. Is this it over here? You think after years and years of doing this, we'd remember the clicker. But every week, it's like, ah, yes, that moment. Do you want to just click it forward one, please? So really, this morning, I've called it Bind My Wandering Heart to Thee. And you'll see, obviously, that's a key part of the hymn. But hopefully, if I can click forward one, we'll listen to the children. It's quite exciting, actually. Right arm, left arm. It is quite exciting, actually. So this morning's sermon comes to you with a caution. This is absolutely a work in progress. I know everyone says this when they come up to speak, and it's a work in progress, but this really is some of the things that are going on in my heart and in my life. And I thought, I'm just going to share them with you. I'm going to talk to you about some of the things that have been going on in my life and what I'm learning and hearing from God. And if that's relevant to you, I pray that it would be fantastic. If it's not, then please just enjoy the biblical references and enjoy this morning for what it is. And maybe listen to some of the music out there and sing along with the kids, because that would be fantastic too. It sounds like they're having a whirl of a time. So that's my little health warning to start us off this morning. And I'd also say that Pete used the word imitators a few weeks ago, and we were talking about that in Life Group as well, about watching and observing and learning from one another. And that's really been quite an important part of my life, not only in church, but in work, in everything I do. I like to watch and imitate and learn. So whether it's sport, or whether it's work, or whether it's in church life, I enjoy watching and observing and trying to gain wisdom, trying to be better at what I do. And that absolutely is true with church life. And I spend a lot of time watching and observing and seeing how people react and respond to different things, such that I might learn how to react in that situation. So this is why today is very much a work in progress for me. Okay, so let's go to that hymn. I'm really going to focus on one verse in the hymn. Obviously, the hymn itself is fantastic, but I'm really going to focus on one verse in the hymn. I'm hoping that some of my pictures come up okay on the screen today. So that is the verse that I'm going to focus on. Now, Robert Robinson, I don't know if you know the story. I think I've mentioned it before. Have you heard the story of Robert Robinson and how he wrote this hymn? So he was a very troubled man. In fact, if I pull up a couple of things about him, because it's relevant to the hymn. In 1743, when Robert Robinson was just 8 years old, he lost his father. Angry, bitter, and fatherless, Robert rebelled in excess through his teenage years, drinking, gambling, and causing trouble. But God broke into his heart through the gospel preaching of George Whitefield. Several years later, he followed the Lord into ministry and was later inspired to write, "Come thou fount of every blessing." And it goes on, and you'll hear that obviously through his life he wandered away. And there's an amazing story towards the end of his life. And in fact, there's a great video online that I've seen that sort of reenacts it, where he's sat on a bus and he's just completely wandered away from God. And as he sat on the bus, the lady next to him starts singing this song, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And it completely breaks him. He turns to the lady and says, "I was that man. I am that man. And if only I could know what it was like to experience being close to God like that again, I'd give everything for it." And it's an amazing sort of story if you read through his life of what God had done in him. But he wrote this hymn in 1757, which is 263 years ago. Can you believe that? So a hymn that was written 263 years ago, I'm going to be using today to talk to you guys. Now, I know nothing of this person, of Robert. I've never met him, clearly. It was a long time ago. But I'm going to be using that today, and it's incredible to think of 263 years. And it's a story of his ups and downs. But perhaps I think this could be relevant to all of us, and I'm going to try and delve into some of it and use some biblical references to help us understand what God is doing and saying to us today. So can I just pray, and then we're going to go through this together. Lord, I want to thank you that you are a faithful and loving and caring, compassionate God who cares for his people. Lord, without you we have nothing, but with you we have everything. And we are so amazed every day when we recognize and realize that you are with us, that you choose to use us for your glory. Lord, that's an amazing thing to say. Lord, us individually, each one of us sat here today, you love us and you care for us and you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And Lord, sometimes we don't know where we're going or see where we're going, but Lord, we're on a journey with you, and one day that journey will end with you and we will be called home. And until that day, Lord, we're going to continue to press into you. We want to follow the example of Jesus, who walked a perfect life on this earth. And I know we don't make it at times, Lord God. We fail. We fail miserably. We fall. And Lord, we feel so grieved and so frustrated about that. But Lord, we know that you are loving, compassionate, and caring God, whose arms are open to us, Lord. And I thank you and praise you because of your son, Jesus, who died on that cross all those years ago, when we fail and fall, Lord, you don't turn to us and convict us, but Lord, you say, because of Jesus, you see us as blameless and holy. And that's amazing, Lord God, and we never want to take that for granted. And today, as we ponder all that you're doing in our lives, I pray that you would reveal new things to us today. I pray that you would show yourself to us today, that our hearts and minds would be open and receptive to you. Lord, we want to have soft hearts to you right now. I pray if our hearts are hardened, that you just melt them right now. Melt our hearts for what melts yours, Lord, I pray. Help us to be soft-hearted, good people who serve you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I've got 6 points today. I'm going to talk to you about the heart, okay? So I'm going to start with God looking at the heart, a famous passage of the Bible in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, where it says, "The Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And this hymn is very much about the heart. It doesn't matter what your status, what your health, what your age, what your gender, what your race, what your background, God sees your heart. He sees what's going on the inside. And sometimes I think that's quite comforting when things aren't going so well on the outside. I think I'm glad that God sees the heart. When you feel that you're failing in your natural life, praise God that we can turn to him and he sees our heart. But at times that can be also quite difficult too. Wow, God, you see our hearts. that's amazing to think that God sees what's going on in our lives and into our hearts all the time. But we have this amazing ability to be with God at any point of the day, at any point of our lives, and to call upon him, and instantly he's there. He chooses to use his people to shine forth his glory and share the good news. You know, we spoke about that in Life Group recently, about God looking at the heart and the importance of our heart being in the right state. It is important for our hearts to be in the right state. You know, it almost requires a health check. I mean, do you do a health check on your heart? Now, it's a bit of a strange thing, but every now and again when David, Dad, and I as elders meet together, we often say, let's do a health check. Now, it doesn't physically mean we go through and check our health, but we mean let's see what's going on in each other's lives, because we don't spend that much time together. It's very small. It's a very small amount of time. And so many things go on in our lives that affect us and go through our minds and our hearts. And just to spend a few moments just talking about what's going on in our heart on the inside is really comforting, really helpful. And it might be only a few moments that we can share and then maybe pray together. But you learn a little bit more about one another when you're able to share like that. You get a bit more insight as to what's going on. So we always see the outward, don't we? We see what happens outwardly. We've done this, we've done that. It's the same, I always think, in terms of parenting and bringing our children up. I've found on several occasions, I always look at the outward. What have they done? They've created a mess. This is a nightmare. Even this morning when I was trying to gather my thoughts, I've got going to my little study and I'm going to fire up the computer. And there's a frozen display of toys and castles and all sorts all over my desk. And I'm thinking, this isn't going to help me in any way, shape, or form. Why do I want a little tiny little Elsa or Anna blocking the way to the Bible? This isn't great. And it's whatever time it was in the morning, first thing, and I'm thinking, I'm going to have to move a frozen castle, and the last thing you want to do is move the frozen castle and press the button, because if you press the button, it's that song that comes on, and it gets sung for hours and hours in our household. So I'm delicately moving this frozen castle at 6 o'clock in the morning, thinking, don't wake the kids and don't press the button. Lay it down, and then back into the study. Right. Now, the first thing I'm thinking is, why have they put the frozen castle here? Of all the places they could put it, we've got the whole house they could put it. But actually, in this case, Bethany's heart was to have fun. And she wanted to have fun in a place where Dad normally goes to his study. She often likes to come into the study. I don't know why they always want to come to the study and use my pens and my paper, but they seem to. You know, they enjoy it. That's what they enjoy. So actually, their heart is in the right place. They're wanting to have fun. They're wanting to enjoy it. But on the outward, I might see their actions as being, well, that's going to annoy me now, isn't it? That's going to be frustrating because I've got to go and find a pen that works now. I'm trying to find a pen that works at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's not great fun. But it's amazing to think that God cuts through all that and sees our hearts. Despite the actions, despite what happens on the outward, God sees our hearts. And let me encourage you, do a health check on yourself, on your heart. Chat to a few people. It's a good thing to do in a life group setting. Share what's going on in your hearts and in your lives. Let's look at God's heart for us, okay? So I've got a few Bible verses for you here. I knew this was going to be small. Okay, I'll read it out. I've got quite a few. So here we go. Psalm 36, 5-7 says, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings." Another one, James 5:11. "Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." We sang that this morning, compassionate and merciful. That's what he is towards us. That's his heart towards us. He's compassionate and merciful. Jeremiah 9:23-24 says, there we go, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me." We heard that last week, didn't we, about knowing God. "He understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." Steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. What a mighty God we serve. He's a jealous God who desires righteousness and hates sinfulness. He longs to be with his people and chooses to lavish us with his grace and mercy daily. He is loyal and loving and shows his compassion where often people fail him. This is the God that we serve, a God that chooses to lavish us with his grace and mercy daily, a God who is strong in loving kindness, in justice, in righteousness, who's compassionate and merciful. You know, it's very easy to forget these things. We don't say it enough to one another. And I use it quite a lot whenever I'm talking to you and sharing, because I think it's important that we remind ourselves of all these things, of all these characteristics that God has towards us. That's his heart towards us. And he wants our hearts to be in the same way. He wants our hearts to be open and ready to respond to him. Which is going to take me on to my third point, the overflow of the heart. So in Luke 6:45, is that right? Luke 6:45, I can't read it. "Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Now, I was thinking about this verse, right? It's very easy. I often think about this verse. It's often you remember verses and they just come to your mind, don't they? And I was wondering, actually, in this day and age, would it be not perhaps more sensible to talk about changing the mouth speaks, but the fingers write? Because so much of our communication these days is through written communication. You know, you can just go online and see countless articles, emails, texts, whatever, that we write between ourselves. Let me read you, you might want to sit back and feel a bit comfortable now as I read to you about data in our world, because this is quite amazing. "If you're roughly the same age as me," this isn't me who's writing it, I'm reading you an article, "you might remember buying a laptop in the 2000s that came with around 40 gigabytes of data. Wow, that's a lot of storage," we all thought at the time. "Now, even the most basic smartphone comes with around 300 gigabytes of data storage, while a top-of-the-range iPhone has more than 500 gigabytes. That's just a little, tiny little thing we carry around with us. But the days of being impressed by gigabytes are long gone. As the amount of data in the world has increased exponentially, we've had to come up with new, unfamiliar words to describe data in numerical form. So long, gigabytes. These days, we're talking terabytes, petabytes, exabytes, and zetabytes." So you lost me at petabyte. Well, a terabyte is just over 1,000 gigabytes, and is a label most of us are familiar with from our home computers. Scaling up from there, a petabyte is just over 1,000 terabytes. That may be far beyond the kind of data storage the average person needs, but industry has been dealing with data in these sort of quantities for quite some time. In fact, way back in 2008, Google was said to process around 20 petabytes of data a day. Google don't release information on how much data it processes today. To put that in context, if you took all the information from all the US academic research libraries and lumped it all together, it would add up to 2 petabytes. And Google was processing 20 petabytes of data a day back in 2008, 12 years ago. Scaling up again, you have exabytes, which are roughly 1,000 petabytes, and zettabytes, a little over 1,000 exabytes. At this stage, it becomes hard to comprehend what any of this means in real terms. Try this. According to a Cisco estimate, the world's collective internet usage reached 1 zettabyte in 2016. That's a lot of cat videos being viewed. So as the world's data has grown, we're now talking about data in terms of zettabytes. So how many zettabytes have been created so far? Well, according to market intelligence company IDC, the global data sphere in 2018 reached 18 zettabytes. This is the total of all data created, captured, or replicated. Not all of this data is being stored and kept, though. The vast majority of the world's data has been created in the last few years. So the vast majority of the world's data has been created in the last few years. And this astonishing growth of data shows no sign of slowing down. In fact, IDC predicts the world's data will grow to 175 zettabytes in 2025. Okay, now that's quite hard to comprehend. So let's dwell on that for a second. 175 zettabytes. What does that even mean? If you were to store 175 zettabytes on DVDs, your stack of DVDs would be long enough to circle the Earth 222 times. If you attempted to download 175 zettabytes at the average current internet connection speed, it would take you 1.8 billion years to download. Even if you enlisted every single person in the world to help you with the download, it would still take 81 days. Where is all this data coming from? It's mind-boggling to think that humans are creating so much data, or is it? Think of how much data you're generating in an average day. Every interaction with your computer or phone creates data. Every interaction on social media creates data. Every time you walk down the street with your phone in your pocket, it's tracking your location through GPS sensors. More data. Every time you buy something with your contactless debit card, data. Every time you read an article online, data. Every time you stream a song, movie, or podcast, data, data, data. As an example, let's look at social media usage in 2018. In just 1 minute, Twitter users sent 473,400 tweets. Snapchat users shared 2 million photos. Instagram users posted 49,380 pictures, and LinkedIn gained 120 new users every single minute. In short, all of the world's data is the result of our increasingly digitized way of life. The connectivity of modern smart devices, not just smartphones, but smart TVs, smart thermostats, and so on, also plays a huge role. These devices are constantly gathering and transmitting data. Other mind-blowing data stats include Google processes more than 40,000 searches every second, or 3.5 billion searches a day. 1.5 billion people are active on Facebook every day. That's 1/5 of the world's population. 2/3 of the world's population now own a mobile phone. When you look at these stats like these, it's not hard to see how the world's data has exploded in recent years and will continue to grow at an incredible rate. Whether we'll hit that vast number of 175 zettabytes in 2025 remains to be seen, but one thing's for sure, we'll be generating a heck of a lot more data than we already are. Isn't that amazing? All of that data being used, sent, stored, whatever it might be happening to it. And a lot of it is from us. We're all involved. We all send our messages to one another. So we have to be careful with how we interact with people. We have to guard our conduct. You know, we as Christians are held to the highest possible standard of conduct in the world because we are following a great example in Jesus Christ who walked this earth perfect. We have a Savior who defends us when we fail and fall. So even though we have the highest standard of conduct that we are called to adhere to,
So that was when things fail and fall, Jesus defends us. So out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Moving on to point four then, bind my heart to thee. I love the wording that's used in the song. Can you read that? Let thy goodness like a fetter, that's the chain that prisoners have, bind my wandering heart to thee. So a fetter, a chain, or a manacle used to restrain a prisoner, typically placed around the ankles. And the song says, let thy goodness, like your goodness, God, like a fetter, like a chain like this, bind my wandering heart to thee. And I kind of almost see that as, you know, sometimes when you see the owners with their dogs and they're desperate to get off the lead because they want to go and chase something or do something, but the owner knows it's dangerous in and around, you know, there's danger for that particular dog. And I sometimes feel with my own heart, you know, my heart wanders after so many different things. And I pray, God, bind my heart to yours, bind my heart to thee. Because when I'm bound to you, all those things that seem exciting and distracting, I want to run after and chase after, I know God will call me back. He'll keep me safe. He'll guard me, protect me. We heard that when we were reading some of the verses this morning. We are prone to wander, but a fetter to God helps us to stay close to him. We are bombarded with distractions to pull us away from God. We desire to be with him, but the pull of other things is constantly tempting us away. So there's a heart cry, a prayer from deep within that we would be bound to God, bound to thee. I'm going through these points fast because I want to get back into worship this morning. But point five, we are prone to wandering hearts. I'm going to read you a few verses from the Bible here, and then I've got a few further points I want to make on wandering hearts. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And this is the important bit: the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know, our hearts can pull us away. They can be deceitful. They can be deceiving. And we have to constantly pray to God to be bound to him. Romans 7, 21 to 23. Let me just read you this little article here. Why do Christians love this poem? This is from Desiring God, because it beautifully helps us pray the groaning we experience as we live the paradox of Christian life that Paul describes in Romans 7, 21 to 23. So here it is. So I find this law at work: although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. And Desiring God goes on to say, Robert Robinson in this hymn captures in a verse the strange experience of the Godward heart. It longs for God and experiences dim mirror, delights in him, while at the same time living as a captive in a bodily prison of godless wanderlust. We find it reassuring and encouraging to express this struggle in a prayer song with our fellow wander-prone Godward friends. I love that. Wander-prone, Godward friends. So that 1 Corinthians 13, 12 says, oh, I've lost it. It was going so well. Here we go. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. See, in this fight against wandering, the Godward heart needs constant encouragement. The Bible tells us to exhort one another every day so that sin doesn't harden our hearts. Well, let's look at that. Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. As Christians, we are all part of the resistance. I think Star Wars as soon as I hear that word, resistance. We are all part of the resistance. We resist the devil and his schemes. We resist the temptations we see. And the most difficult of all, we resist the deceitful part of our heart that is so prone to wander from God. Our prayer is that this book would be used by God as a means of grace to help bind the wandering heart to him. You know, we are prone to wander. This morning, as I was praying and preparing in the dark, you've got the picture early in the morning. I've just moved the frozen thing out. I'm there in what I feel to be silence and quiet. I'm just contemplating. I can hear a little cough just outside the door. Tiny little cough. I thought, that's Bethany. So I opened the door, and she was sat there just waiting for me. Sat on the floor looking up at me, whatever time of the morning it was. 7:15 by then, 7:30. And she knew I was preparing, so she didn't want to come in. She didn't knock the door. She didn't want to disturb me. She just sat there waiting. I thought, what a simple picture this morning. Sitting, waiting. And I opened the door, and first thing I did, picked her up, gave her a big hug. How did you sleep? Yeah, really well, Dad. And I took her up around the corner and said, Daddy's just preparing. And she said, are you the worshiper this morning? I said, no, Daddy's not leading worship this morning. I'm the speaker, the talker. I'm talking this morning. And she looked at me, a bit confused. And I said to her, what would you want to tell to people this morning if you were talking? And she looked at me and thought, I'd say that God loves them and he's kind and caring. And that we should be caring to one another. I thought, wow. She's just destroyed my whole speech or talk this morning. And she's simplified it. God loves us and he's kind. And he wants us to be kind to one another. So I replayed it back to her and said, did you just say that God loves us and he's caring and kind? She sort of nodded. And that he wants us to be kind to one another. No, I didn't say that. Well, I think you did. No, I didn't say that, Dad. I didn't at all. But anyway, the simple picture of a childlike faith coming before their father, knowing that God cares, God loves, he's kind. You know, our hearts are prone to wander. We need constant encouragement in our daily walks together. There are so many things that we need constant encouragement for. I, for one, have written down a few of them from a personal perspective. Some of these might be relevant. You can add in all yours. You can delete some of the ones that aren't relevant for you. But parenting, we need help and encouragement in parenting. It's not easy. In our work lives, we need encouragement. It's tough in our work lives. We need encouragement in finances. We need encouragement in the activities and the events we do together. I need encouragement in my social activities with my friends. I'm desperate for so many of my friends to know Jesus and to come to find him as their Lord and Savior. And I spend as much time as I can with them, just to be with them, just to be with other people who don't know Jesus. And pray that at times, Lord, you'd give me opportunities. And you get the most random moments of opportunities. It's always the weird moments of opportunities. Last week, Becky had her belated Christmas work due, and I went out with her and some of her friends from her workplace, and it was fascinating chatting to people who don't have any links to my life. You know, they're not interested in finance and the financial sector. They're musicians. They're interested in music and other things. And I was just chatting to a few people who were sort of reminded me of being in university. You know, when you go to university and or school or college or whatever it might be, and you're chatting to people who've got completely different backgrounds to you, and you're just learning new things about them. And it's fascinating, isn't it? It's just spending an hour or two with two or three new people I've never met before in my entire life, and just talking to them about their experiences and hearing what they'd been through. And it was something I don't do every day. It was quite exciting. I quite enjoyed it. It reminded me of being at university and learning about new people, new things, new experiences, and so on. But we need encouragement in our social interactions, our friendship, in our family times, in our marriages, in our hospitality, in the way in which we show hospitality to people, in the way in which we serve. We need encouragement constantly. It's not easy, is it? We go through a difficult life. Our hearts are prone to wander. And that's going to take me on to my sixth and final point this morning, which is, above all else, here's my heart, Lord. That's what God requires of us this morning, to come simply as we are, to come before him with a childlike faith, recognizing that he loves us, he cares for us, he's compassionate, and he's compassionate and careful in all that he does. I want to bind my wandering heart to thee. And I'm going to play a video that's really resonated with me as I've been watching it. It's playing this hymn to you, so it should be familiar given what we've spoken about this morning. But I'm going to just ask if we could just play this video. It's about 6 minutes long. I was tempted to cut it back, and I thought, no, you know, it's been a blessing to me. I pray it would be a blessing to you. And just relax and enjoy the words of this famous hymn. And enjoy the video as it is. So if you could play the video, great, thanks.
All else I
Let the band back up, please.
Lord, we want to thank you that you choose to love us. And Lord, we come before you this morning. We recognize our hearts are prone to wander. Lord, so many distractions in this world that take us away. But Lord, we choose to bind our hearts to yours today and forevermore. I just pray for my brothers and sisters, and Lord, I pray for myself first and foremost. Lord, we want to serve you and follow after you first and foremost. May you be the priority of our lives, Lord. May you be the first thing in our lives, Lord God. May everything else fall away. May we fix our eyes on Jesus. Lord, cause our hearts to sing your praise this morning and forevermore. Cause our hearts to be open and receptive to you, Lord. When they wander, when they go away, I pray that brothers and sisters around us would help us to come back to you. Draw in people that know you, that love you, that call your name, that call you their Father, I pray. Help us, Lord, to focus upon you. Help us to give you all that we have and lay it all down at the foot of your cross, Lord, and give it all over to you. You're an amazing God. You're a wonderful Father, Lord. We turn to you in everything, every part of our lives. We give it all to you right now, Lord. We come before you in worship and praise right now. We just want to sing your praise this morning. I want to sing your worship this morning and say that you're worthy. You're a worthy God, worthy to be praised. As we've heard this morning through the givings that have come, Lord, you're a good person, good Father to us, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, for your faithfulness, for your love towards us over generations, Lord. But Lord, we just want to focus in upon you right now and look to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.